Bibles in your hand, let me take you back to where we were last Sunday. Genesis 6, 1 through 9. If you didn't get to catch part one, it's on YouTube. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. He grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. The grace to make changes. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us right now. We are desperate for you. We crave your presence. We need your awareness. We need your attention. We clamor for your affection. We need your adoration. We bow humbly before you, submitted to you, asking you, kind sir, heavenly Father, Daddy, if you please, speak to us out of the volume of the book, oh God, that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord says to the church. I thank you in advance for what you're about to do. Have your way in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Y'all tired or y'all want me to preach? If you're tired, I can break off a chicken leg. We can go at it. So last week we talked about the book of Genesis. We talked about looking at the ages and stages of ages from a dispensational perspective is one of the many ways in which we can relegate and thereby determine and understand different eras and ages out of time. We understood then that Noah was standing at the end of the age of consciousness, about to float into human government, and that in spite of all of that, he stepped out of his era and found grace. It was not that grace found him, but he found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and consequently a revolution evolved in his life because he transcended his era and the dispensation of his time and moved into that which was hidden but revealed unto him. And he found it because it was hidden. You don't find something that's not hidden. He found it because it was hidden. Grace was hidden, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and consequently was able to operate on a level that transcended his time and situation. Imagine that. That we can find things about God that cause us to transcend where we are and operate as if we were translated into something that has been held back. Imagine that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and that God would show you things that haven't even happened yet so that you could be ready for them before they happen. Imagine that you could touch into a vein in the spirit that released something that your circumstances were destitute of, and yet we were able to channel them into this present world because of your closeness to God. Imagine that while other people were drowning, you were floating. Imagine while other people were dying, you were living. Imagine while other people were going under, you were going up. Imagine while other people were being laid off, you were hiring people. Imagine while other people were committing suicide, you were smiling and having abundant life. Imagine that you had disrupted the culture, the order, the societal trends of the times in such a profound and didactic way that you turned out to be on the right side of history and not the wrong side of history, that God had allowed you to find. Somebody shout grace. Oh my God, when you say it, hell gets nervous and demons tremble and Satan becomes upset. Somebody say grace. When you say it, your mind gets better, your anxiety dissipates, your worry leaves, your guilt, your shame, your anxiety, all these. Somebody shout grace. That I don't deserve, I didn't earn, I didn't work for it, but I just became eligible by the mercy of God. Somebody shout grace. Grace is not just mercy and forgiveness, but grace is power. Grace is the ability. Grace is the unction to function in things that would have killed somebody else, but you got the grace for it. And when you got the grace for it, you can put up with it. That's why you can't always take the advice of your sister, girl, your girlfriends, or your comrades, because sometimes their advice is based on gracelessness. And yet you have the grace to put up with something that they couldn't stand, and they tell you, if I was you, I would say, shut up, you're not me. I have the grace to be me. I have the grace to raise this child. I have the grace to be married to this man. I have the grace to do this job. I have the grace to run for this office. I have the grace to move into this position. I have found grace, power, electric, intensity, force, might, electricity. I got it. I got grace. I don't care how old I am. I don't care what I look like. I don't care whether you like me or not. If I got the grace, I got the grace, and nothing you can do about it. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. I feel it because I'm walking in it, and I'm standing in it, and I'm breathing it, and I'm living in it. I'm standing in the grace of God. I'm 65 years standing in the grace of God. Still got unction. Still got fire. Still got glory. That's grace. You can go ahead and get old if you want to. Quit if you want to. Sit down if you want to. Accept defeat if you want to. The devil is a lie. I'm not through yet. It's not over till God says it over. It's not a calendar. It's not a date on the calendar. I refuse to act old because I'm supposed to. I got grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God saved him. Because Noah walked with God. Because God saw himself in Noah. Because Noah was a righteous man. He wasn't trying to keep up with the culture. The culture was drowning, and Noah was floating because he did not idolize his associates. Your problem is you care too much about people and what they think and what they say and whether they like you or not, or whether they like the way you look, or they like your hair, they like your dress. I don't care whether you like it or not. I refuse to bow down at the shrine of what is only a man's opinion. Back up. Give me some room. Give me some space, because I got grace to do this. And God saved Noah and his sons and their daughters. saved by association. Saved by relationship. So if you're not relational, you're in trouble. Because Noah's sons and daughters got saved by relationship. They didn't have covenant, their father did. And they became a recipient for that that they did not have because they were connected with somebody that did. Connections is what got the woman with the issue of blood healed. It wasn't attention, it was connections. She touched the hem of his garment. He wasn't even looking at her, but just because she was connected, she got blessed. Are you connected with people that have the ability to change your destiny because you honor your connection? Then don't let no devil tear up your connection. Once God has given you a connection, it will save your life. One of my fondest memories of my youngest son's childhood is watching him in the mirror watching me shave when I was shaving, and he was a little boy. He was a wee little boy. And I'm shaving in the mirror, and he's looking at the mirror at me. You remember this? And, I can't look at you and tell it. I turn my back to you. And he said, he looked in the mirror, and I'm looking at him through the mirror, and he said, "Daddy, you're everything I want to be." And I thought, listen, wait, I thought, and that's why I can't look at him. I said to myself, I said, "That's nice. But you don't know everything I am. You haven't seen me scared. You haven't seen me tired. You haven't seen me fail. You haven't seen me be human. You see me as this superhero. And you love my superhero." And I smiled and I patted him. And I thought to myself, it'll mean more if when you grow up and you still think that. And I can't look at him when I tell you that as a grown man, I brought it up. And I brought it up with some anxiety because I braced myself for him to say that he changed his mind. And he said, "Daddy, you're still everything I ever wanted to be." I ain't gonna be able to do it with him in the room. Now, what I brought it up about, this personal conversation between me and my youngest child, this personal conversation was had through a mirror. I can look at you now. We never looked at each other. Yeah, we just looked through the mirror. So I'm standing there looking at his reflection, and he is looking at mine, and we are talking to the reflections about each other. Are you watching what I'm saying? In this little personal private story is the mystery of theology. It will change the way you see a mirror. Every time you see a mirror, you will see it differently. How many people got a mirror on them right now? You got a mirror in your pocketbook somewhere on your seat somewhere. You got a mirror right now. Your mirror will teach you the purpose of God. You don't need your Bible. I want to preach from your mirror. For you see, when God made man from the dust of the earth, he made him a mirror, a reflection. What God liked about man was he was created in his likeness. and in his image. So when God looked at man, he saw himself. And what God has always wanted for humanity is reflection. That's why when Jesus came, he told us to pray after this manner: thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, I want you to be a reflection of heaven. Behold, I give you power. Whatever you bind on earth have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth have been loosened. That's mirror talk. 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 When Moses said, God, show me your glory, and he looked at the glory of God until the molecules of his face begin to change into what he beheld, because you always become what you look up to. And when Moses began to look up at God, he became the God he was looking at. So much so that the Bible says in Hebrew, his face shone. In the Hebrew, it means glory beams were shooting out of his face when he came down off the mountain. It looked like beams were shooting out his face, because his face had molecularly changed into what he was looking at. Whatever you look at is what you become. You cannot be it if you don't see it. And the more you see it, you can be it. And Moses was staring at God and turning into God without death. Transforming into divinity without death before the cross required a veil. Because it wasn't time for it to be revealed what God looked like. And so when Moses comes down off of the mountain, he veils his face so that the glory of God does not yet appear, because it wasn't supposed to appear through Moses. The law was supposed to appear through Moses, but not the glory. The glory was supposed to come through Jesus. And the Bible said, we beheld the wonder of his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That means that Jesus is to God what I was to Dexter. They're having a reflective conversation. Jesus is God talking to us through his mirror. No man have seen the Father at any time save the Son, who have revealed him. If you have seen me, come on. You have seen the Father, because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. This is a reflective analysis, because God has always wanted to see himself in his likeness and in his image. And the reason Satan hated man is because he looked like his daddy. And if you're in rebellion against the Father, you're going to be in rebellion against the Son. So when Satan slithers up on Eve in the garden, he's trying to break the mirror. He couldn't break the Father. So he tries to break the mirror, the reflection of his glory. The express image of his person. Divinity wrapped up in humanity. And we beheld the wonder of his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I was looking at Dexter. I was looking at what I was. He was looking at me as an older man, at what he would become. He represented my past, I represented his future, and we were staring through time. And when I looked at him, I looked at where I was, and when he looked at me, he looked at what he would become. So when you see the Son, you are seeing God expressing himself through the Son in his likeness and in his image. What does that have to do with the text? I'm glad you asked. It has everything to do with the flood, because this mutated being that had started to be created out of the lust of the sons of God and the daughters of men had created a mutated being that had destroyed the reflection of who God was. And he said, before I'll have my image disrupted, I'll drown them. Because they are not reflecting me. And I created them to be in my image and in my likeness. And I am seeing a mutation. Oh, how much of God does he see in you? In the way you talk, in the way you walk, in the way you handle people, and the way you respond to people, and the way you interact with people, how much of it is a reflection of your Father? Or are you just showing yourself? Because this determines whether the flood hits you. The purpose of God is not the titles of men. We have confused purpose with titles. So when we ask people about purpose, they tell you what they do. I'm a preacher. That's a title. Don't confuse titles with purpose. I am the express image of his person. I am the personification of his praise. I am the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, where divinity meets humanity. I am an expression of God's ability to inhabit that which is human. I am the wind of God in flesh, the breath of God, the Zoe God. My purpose is to reflect him in the earth. So I try to tell you what he would tell you, speak to you like he would speak to you, handle you like he would handle you, whether I like you or not. That's beside the point. I am supposed to express him in the earth. And as long as I express him, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that rises against me, God will condemn. And I don't care how high the flood gets, it'll never get me if I express his glory. That's why you clap your hands. That's why you give him praise. That's why you lift him up, so that you can express glory. The Lord told me to tell you that he created you to be a glory machine. A glory machine. Like you squeeze toothpaste and toothpaste comes out. When I squeeze you, glory ought to come out. Glory ought to come out of your praise, out of your talk, out of your walk. Somebody let glory loose. Because if you secrete glory, God will protect you. God is not worried about your humanity. He's worried about his glory. As long as you express his glory, the floods won't drown you. I got to praise him. I got to praise him. Sometimes that's the only thing I get right, is praising him. And I throw myself on the mercy of the court, because God inhabits praise. And if I want God to inhabit me, I've got to praise him, because there's nothing else about me that God would want. But if I praise him, he will come in. He will come in and sit with me and make his abode with me if I praise him. Somebody just try it right now and praise him right now. It'll work in your car. Give me more. It'll work in your living room. It'll work on your couch. You don't even have to be in this building. Whenever praises go up, blessings will come down. You're a glory machine. If you're watching me online, you're a glory machine. Produce it in the hospital. Produce it in the courtroom. Produce it in the bank. Wherever you need glory to show up, it's not going to come down. It's going to come out. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, and glory beams were coming out of his face. And God said, I'm seeing something on earth that doesn't look like me. And I will destroy it, because that I'm seeing coming out of your house, that ain't me. That mutated thing that you birthed for your pleasure, that big giant thing that's walking around in your life, that's a hybrid of your spirituality and your carnality. Your sons of God have seen the daughters of men and produced a strange thing, a mutation that does not reflect my glory. And Dexter and I were talking through the reflection. We never turned our heads to look at each other because I could see him through his reflection. I could see my yesterday in the reflection, and he could see his tomorrow. If you wonder what he would look like with gray beard, here it is. Time could not deter reflection. So when God wanted reflection, he created man. Now, in the era of Noah, this that God did not create is now growing. And God said, that's not mine. So I'm going to drown everything that does not reflect my glory. That's why you got to be cool when God drowns certain people out of your life. It must have been hard to be on the ark and hear those people screaming outside, and yet you could not save them and you could not help them because it was their decision. And I am learning. I had a certain arrogance I didn't know I had, that I thought being anointed meant that I could reach anybody. I am learning that you cannot help certain people. I don't care how anointed you are. I don't care how gifted you are. You cannot help people who have decided to go with the giants. Type on the line, get rid of the giants. All those things that grew up in your life that God didn't send in your life, get rid of them things, because that is what is going to bring the flood. I wish I had time. I think it's interesting that in Noah's day, they created giants. In our day, we created technology. I think it is interesting that we cannot talk to each other for technology. And we are more intimate with machinery than we are humanity. I think it's interesting that we can all sit down at a dinner table and be preoccupied with our phones. And have we made something that mocks who we are and does not give us the satiety of real relationship? Because you really think they friends because they follow you? Are you kidding me? You really think that they like you because they liked your picture? Are you serious? Have you become that cheap? That you'll do anything for a touch you didn't even get to feel. They touched their phone and you felt better. Have you become so cheap that you walk past the people who can touch you to have contact with the people that can't touch you? Have we not created giants that are replacing us, that are taking our jobs and taking our positions and taking our places? Can you call anybody now and not talk to a machine? I can't get a real person on the phone that can answer a question. If you want this, punch 5. If you want that, punch 7. If you want this, punch 3. Hit the pound button when you're complete. If you don't want to, hit the star. I want a person. I want to talk to a person who thinks and breathes and can respond and answer my question. I don't want to talk to a robot. I don't want to kiss a robot. I don't want to hold a robot. I don't want to make love to a robot. I don't want you to create something that looks sexy that I cannot feel. I am tired of machines. Because no machine can reflect the glory of God. No meme can create the glory of God. No hologram can create the glory of God. Only you, even the angels can't do it. Only you can reflect the glory of God. And there you sit with your lips first and you won't praise the Lord with your stingy self when it's the one thing that makes you unique in all the earth. Let everything that have breath praise ye. Somebody shout grace. I told you last week, intellect does not produce nor deny grace. You don't get grace because you're smart, because then God would not be just, because somebody with lesser IQs would not be eligible. So it is not dispensed according to your intellectualism. It is not dispensed according to your aesthetics, because then ugly people would be out. Ugly people can be just as anointed as fine folks. Because God does not dispense glory by appearance. For man looketh on the, but God looketh on the. Oh, you're getting it. I can produce glory and be poor. I know y'all don't believe that in America, but you can be anointed and be broke. I was anointed with food stamps. Hallelujah. I would preach you into a coma, feeding my daughter Wick and putting back stuff that the food stamps wouldn't cover, but it didn't stop the glory from saturating my life. And I got up because I am anointed. And I went further because I am anointed. But even poverty could not stop anointing from getting to me. You can be in prison and be anointed. The glory will get in between the bars. The glory that need the warden's permission. The glory cannot be stopped by the sheriff's department. If you're watching me in a prison cell, the glory of God will walk right through the bars and touch you. Like you've never been touched. Human conscience finds grace when it matures enough to discover its own wretchedness. Let me break this down. You will never get better until you find out how sick you are. As long as you deny your own illness and you become professional at blaming other people for what's wrong with you, you will never be on a road to recovery. When you begin to own it, when you become consciously aware that I need the grace of God, I need the power of God, I need the blood of Jesus, I need the anointing of God, I am a wretch undone. You wouldn't like me if I didn't take my medication. I need a fix every day. I need glory in the morning. I need glory in the evening. I need glory to shut my mouth. I need glory to stop me from telling you what I'm thinking. I need glory from flipping out like I can flip out. I can flip out. I don't have to pop my neck. I will pop your neck. I will go off on you. I need glory to keep my flesh in check. I need glory to hold my peace and not show you that I could outcuss you in my sleep. Somebody shout, glory! Now, Genesis tells us what Noah did. That Noah built an ark a certain amount of furlongs. A furlong is from the elbow to the fingertip. So it was not a specific length, because the distance from elbow to fingertip varies from hand to hand. What I build is measured by my length. I measure by my own arm. That's why comparing yourselves with one another and so doing, it is not wise, because my sister's furlong might be shorter than my furlong, but that doesn't make her any less successful, because a furlong is determined by your own length, your capacity. How much capacity do you have? Don't walk in my capacity. My arm might be longer. Noah built the ark. I'm going to move on. Noah built the ark according to his length. The book of Genesis tells us what he did. But the book of Hebrews tells us why he did it. I don't want to pastor a bunch of people who are stuck on what. Because as long as you're stuck on what, you will never love like God. Because men always want to know what you did. Somebody can call you and tell you, so-and-so died. What they die of, child? Is that going to make them any less dead? But we want to know what. I ain't gonna bother it. I'm canceling out all the additions I could add to that. Genesis tells us what. Hebrews tells us why. Hebrews 11 and 7 says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, In King James, it said, move with fear. In the NIV, it says, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Good God Almighty. Can I spend a few minutes here and I'm going to stop? The thing that got me about this text is that I always hear church people preaching top, bottom, north, south, east, west, faith, fear, as if fear were the opposite of faith. And we had all these t-shirts to make people with masks feel funny. Faith over fear. Like if I had real faith, I wouldn't have a mask on. I said, no, if you had real faith, you wouldn't lock your cargo. If you want to show me your faith, leave your door open and go to sleep. leave your pocketbook on the dashboard and leave the car unlocked. Let's really show them some faith. If you're going to tempt God, let's really just go off. I got faith. I got faith. No, you got COVID. You must understand what I'm saying. People don't get COVID or not get COVID because they had faith or didn't have faith. You can have faith and still catch COVID. You can have a mask and still catch COVID. You can have no mask and still catch COVID. Let's challenge. Now I'm gonna be disruptive, okay? This is a warning. So if you wanna hop offline, hop off right now, because I'm getting ready to be disruptive. I'm gonna mess with your theology just a little bit. You run around talking about that if I had faith, I wouldn't have fear. And then you quote the scripture, a perfect love casts out fear. And then you tell me that God has not given us the spirit of fear. But the truth of the matter is, this scripture brings faith and fear into the same sentence without contradiction. Noah's faith is proven by his fear. So the text starts out, oh, I feel like teaching this thing now. Come on, I dare you to push me. I'll teach this thing. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not yet seen. Now, he had faith. God warning you is grace. If God warned you, that's grace. If I told you to stop, that's grace. If I gave you a chance to get out, that's grace. If I gave you the plan for the tabernacle, that's grace. If I gave you the plan for the ark, that's grace. So we see by faith, Noah being warned of God. Look at your neighbor and say, God warned you. If you get in trouble, don't blame God. If you go bankrupt, don't blame God. If they take all your money and run, don't blame God. If you lose your self-respect, don't blame God. If you end up HIV positive, don't blame God. Once God warns you, grace has done what it was supposed to do. It has warned you of things not yet seen. It has warned you of things not yet seen. Is there anybody in here that don't want to be warned? I want to be warned. If you want to be warned, put your hand up. I want to be warned. I want to be warned when I'm going too far. I want to be warned when I'm talking too much. I want to be warned when I'm in the presence of an enemy. I want to be warned when I befriended a witch. I want to be warned when there's somebody out to sabotage me. I want to be warned when I'm on the brink of discretion. I want to be warned when I talk too much. I want to be warned when I need to hold my peace. I want to be warned when I'm about to mess up my future. That's the grace of God. Look at your neighbor and say, he warned me. I would have been dead, but he warned me. I would have been destroyed, but he warned me. I would have drowned, but he warned me. I would have been with a body that was abusive, but he warned me. I would have been with somebody that was hitting me over the head with a frying pan, but he warned me. Is there anybody in here that can shout because God warned you? He warned me. He warned me. He warned me. He warned me. The devil thought he had me, but God warned me. The witch tried to hex me, but God warned me. My enemies tried to deceive me, but God warned me. They act like they were my friends, but God warned me. They tried to put me in a trap, but God warned me. To God be the glory. He brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me out. He brought me out. Because I believed him. And you know how you know I believed him? Because I moved with fear. Come on, come on, come on. Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, move with fear. It doesn't say he moved with faith. It said he moved with fear. Because if you really believe God that it's going to rain, it ought to produce fear. Because God is not looking for somebody in this season who will gradually build a boat. We are too close to judgment for you to be casual about building an escape route. The enemy is right over your shoulder. If you don't move with fear, you won't move quick enough to stop the enemy from doing what he's trying to do, because fear is a favor from God. It releases your adrenaline. It gives you power to move. It gives you agility. It gives you strength. It causes your body to function in supernatural ways. God gave you fear so that when the lion roared, you would outrun him. When the baboon beat his chest, you would outstep him. God gave you fear so that when the snake rattled, you would move your foot. I need me some fear to help me escape. When the enemy came in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Slap your neighbor and say, run! 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 I can see the signs of the judgment. You better run. I can see the signs of the times. You better run before we can cure one disease. Here comes another disease. While we're getting over this disease, here comes another disease. Slap your neighbor and say, run. You better run. You better run. You're not safe in Ukraine. You're not safe in Russia. But you're not safe in Alabama. You're not safe in Jamaica. You can't find anybody safe. Any place that's safe. You got to be prepared to run. Hit your neighbor and say, I'm going to run. If you're going with me, you got to run. If you're going to move with me, you got to run. I can't stand slow folks. They make me itch. They get on my nerves. Because when I got to go, I got to go. And you got to move at my pace, or you can't walk with me. If you don't move with me, somebody open your mouth and shout yes. Fist bump three people and say, I gotta make changes. I gotta make changes. I gotta make changes. I gotta make changes. God's given me a grace to make changes. I've got the grace to change my circumstance. I've got the grace to change my situation. I've got the grace to come out of bondage. I got the grace to escape the wrath to come. Somebody shout grace. Grace is what I'm going to use to change my situation. For the next 30 seconds, everybody that's got grace, give God a praise. Seven people and say, make changes. Make changes. God's going to give you grace to make changes. God's going to give you grace to change your reality. God's going to give you grace to change your situation. Somebody shout yes. 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 I'm not waiting on nobody to change my life. I've got the grace to change my life. If you're a change agent, give God some praise right now. Praise him. Praise him till hell gets nervous. Praise him till demons tremble. Praise him till you break your norm. Praise him till you break the spell. Praise him till you create a disruption. Somebody shout, I'm a disruptor. I'm a disruptor. I'm a disruptor. I'm a disrupt the whole house. I'm a disrupt the whole city. I'm a disrupt the whole nation. Somebody help me holler. It was not what I was running to that made me speed. It was what I was running. If I hadn't seen the giants behind me, I wouldn't have been in such a hurry building my ark. But in order for me to protect my generations, I gotta build it. Hear me now. God won't protect what you won't build. My text is the grace to build, the grace to make changes, which is the grace to build, which means, come on, stay with me just a minute. There is a grace to be a disruptor. In order to have the strength to disrupt a situation, you have to have the ability to take the pain of the critics who say you look like a fool. You're building a boat. Why are you building a boat? There's not a cloud in the sky. But because God warned you of things that they can't even see. Oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Somebody shall build it. There's something that God wants you to build that's going to protect you from what's coming. And if you don't build it, it won't happen. Grace won't do it without you. You got to build it. If you build it, it's going to happen. Somebody shout, build it. You've been hanging around people that are so busy having fun that you haven't been around people who were busy building. Now building feels like punishment because fun feels like normal. But if you change your crowd and get with people that are building, then you won't need rest from building because building will become your normal. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a builder. That's what I do. If I get in this marriage, I'm going to build it. If I have a child, I'm going to build it. If I have a job, I'm going to build it. If I start a business, I'm going to build it. Because I got the grace to make changes. Look at somebody and say, make changes. This is your year. This is your time. This is your season to make changes. And you're trying to not make waves. But if you don't make waves, you can't make change. If you don't get on somebody's nerves, you can't make change. Look at somebody and say, I got the grace for it. I'm close. Because I feel a preaching fit coming on. I feel a fit coming on. There must be some builders in the house. If you're a builder in the house, make some noise. I say, if you're a builder in the house, make some noise. I say, if you're a builder in the house, make some noise. Yeah. If you're building a house, make some noise. Anything I get in, I'm gonna change it. I guarantee you, if I join the choir, you're gonna hear me. I guarantee you, if I start pushing the wall, it's gonna move. I guarantee you, if I kick a door, it's gonna fly open. I will knock a door off its hinges at 65. If I want in there, you can't lock me out. If I get ready to come in, then baby, I'm coming in. And no devil in hell can keep me out, because I got the grace to make changes. Shout in this place. Holler in this place. Make noise in this place. If you're going to make some changes, I want to hear from you. Whatever tormented you the most in your life, you have the most grace to build in the area where you had the most pain. I'm trying to tell you, your enemies are your best friends. Because if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't move with fear. And God sent pain in your life to motivate you because you were too complacent. And now he wants you out of your comfort zone because he needs you to be scared. Because he's looking for somebody that will move with fear. He got too many people that's just walking along. He wants somebody that's gonna move with fear. I want somebody in this building. I don't care whether you move north, south, east, or west. I don't care if you jump up and down or climb up a step. But I want 3,000 people in this place to just bust a move, any kind of move. Thank you. I'm about to close. That's my third time saying that. I'm about to close. Let me tell you, when David got ready to bring back the Ark of the Covenant, he was bringing back the glory of God, but he didn't know how to bring back the glory. Like some of you are standing here watching us, but you don't know how to bring back the glory. So the Bible says that he tried to bring back the glory on a new cart, but when he brought the glory in, the ox stumbled, the Ark of the Covenant slid, Uzzah grabbed it, and he died. And for 3 months, David gave up and put the glory in the house of Obed-Edom. But when the glory got in Obed-Edom's house, the glory said, I don't care what house I'm in, anywhere I get in, I'm gonna produce glory. And the house of Obed-Edom, God bless. Somebody shout, give me the glory. Pastor Brady, David got tired of seeing Obed-Edom's house get blessed. And he said, I want the glory back. Somebody say, I want the glory back. So he got the Ark of the Covenant and he put it on the shoulders of the priests. And in the King James Version, it said that they brought the glory back with paces. And when I said paces, I thought rhythm, but when I looked up paces in Hebrew, it's not so much about rhythm, it's about big steps. And the only way the glory will rest on your shoulder is that you're prepared to take. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but before this year is out, you're about to take a big step. Step out on the promises of God. Step out on the power of God. Do it like this. Take a big step. Take a big step. God's tired of your baby steps. Take a big step. Take a big step and watch God bless you. Give me some praise music. Take me back to the storefront. Take me back. Here's your takeaway. You think that because you feel fear, you shouldn't move. But if I let fear stop me, I would never move. Noah moved with fear, but it was by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, built an ark to the saving of his house. This text is Jeremiah 18. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Means the vessel doesn't look like what he had in his mind, what he had imagined it to look like. So he made it again another. How can it be it and another? Because God can make changes that turns it into another. Wait a minute, don't clap if you ain't a big stepper. I don't want to pastor nobody that's not prepared to make some big steps. Log off if you're not a big stepper. This is a big stepper conversation. The grace to make changes is for people who can feel the fear and move with it. Move with it. Move with it. I'm afraid, but I'm gonna move with it. I'm gonna make it work for me. I'm gonna hit you harder because I'm scared of you. I was in the street, I ran into a guy. He said, I'm bad, you don't know who you fooling with. I said, you bad. I said, I'm scared. I said, scared trumps bad, because bad is cool. Scared will do anything. I will bite your finger off. I will poke you in your eye. I will bite your lip off, because scared is crazy. Now you bad, I'm crazy. Let's see what happens. Because you're moving with cool, I'm moving with fear. I will drive a car over you. I will burn you up and eat marshmallows in your front yard. Because I'm crazy. I'm scared of you. Because if you hit me, it might hurt. But if you're on fire, you're going to be busy. I will keep you busy. Jump me. Expect crazy. Noah moved with fear. The worst person to fight is somebody who's scared of you, because they ain't gonna give you a chance. They'll catch you sleep. My mama used to say, I pour hot grease in your ear. She said, hot chicken fried grease, and pour it in your ear and let you run out the underside while you sleep. That's moving with fear. My daddy was 280 and 6 foot tall. He didn't mess with her. Because he was bad, she was crazy. Crazy trumps bad all in the head. What will you go crazy about? What will you go crazy to build? What will you go crazy to accomplish? You got this last thrust. What you gonna do with it? Some of you got five more thrusts. Some of you just got one. What you gonna do? You gonna waste your last thrust on a little baby step? Poke a poke a little bit, did you? You ain't got time to take a little step. The weirdest thing, when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back, the only way the Ark rested is that it rested on the shoulders of priests who would make big steps. This is a big stepper message. Who am I preaching to today? Noah built something. It wasn't a yacht. It wasn't a fishing boat. It saved his whole house. It saved everything that reflected God's glory. God made a new heaven and a new earth out of what a man built. I'm telling you that God wants you to build something that causes your great-great-grandchildren to blow kisses at your picture. I don't care, Donna, if it's cake batter. I don't care if it's pancake batter. I don't care if it's waffle batter. I don't care if it's syrup. I don't care if it's onion soup. Make something out of it. God gives you the grace to make changes, not excuses. There is no grace to make excuses. There's grace to make changes. Everything you've been crying about and fussing about and complaining about and asking God to do something about, you do something about it. You want to make it better, make it better. You can't make it better making it worse. Make it better. Shut up and make it better. Stop complaining about it, make it better. You don't like the garage, make it better. You don't like the car, make it better. You don't like the marriage, make it better. You don't like the ministry, make it better. I don't need nobody else telling me what's wrong. Fix it. Change it. Make it better. You got the grace to make changes. I don't go to the tailor for him to tell me what's wrong with the suit. I brought it to you to fix it. God said, I brought you that problem to fix it. And I gave you the grace to make changes. Type it on the line. I got the grace to make changes. Your excuses are gonna not want you to do it. Because if you write this, it will kill your excuses. Say, I've got the grace to make changes. Say it to yourself, I got the grace to make changes. This is my year to make changes. I'm anointed to make changes. I'm gifted to make changes. I got the grace to make changes. It's not up to my husband. It's not up to my wife. It's not up to my mama. It's not up to my boss. I've got the grace to make changes. Say it with me. I got the grace to make changes. In a moment, I'm going to pray for change agents. I'm going to pray for change agents. That does not necessarily mean bishops and elders. It could, but it doesn't have to mean them. Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria, but his change agent was making the bed. The maid turned the whole story upside down while she was making the bed. She said, there's a prophet in Israel. I don't care what your socioeconomic level is in life, the color of your skin, your ethnicity, what country you're from, whether you're young or you're so old you can't see the screen. The reason you still breathe is to make changes. In a moment, I'm going to pray for change agents. I particularly am drawn to people who have chaos and trauma, who have been drowning in stuff that you're supposed to build in. Don't you see, Sarah? Noah's Ark made no sense without a flood. His life's work meant nothing without trouble. The flood is what made the ark work. If you stop the flood, the ark makes no sense. It's just decoration in his backyard without the flood. Stop praying about the flood and build your ark. You've been praying, God, stop the rain, God, stop the rain, oh, God, stop the rain, oh, God, stop the rain. Let me tell you something. You need every problem you got to give you buoyancy. Because you're going to ride on the wave of trouble. The trouble's going to give you buoyancy. You're going to want to thank all your haters. Because your haters made you hurry up. I told some friends of mine we were doing a deal. I said, hurry up and close the deal. Hurry up and close it because we got enemies. When I see enemies, I get in a hurry. I don't draw back. When I see you won't fight me, I'm going to shut it down. Shut it down. Shut it down. Stop arguing with them and shut it down. I don't have grace to argue. I got grace to build. I got grace to make changes. You've got grace to make changes. And God wanted me to talk to your head because you're approaching the storm the wrong way. You think victory is stopping the water. If you stop the water, the boat won't work. The water is your friend. It's going to lift you up. You're going to sail on it. You are not called to stop the rain. You're called to build the ark, Noah. Your kids are counting on you to build something that's bigger than you. That's more important than you. This right here is bigger than T.D. Jakes. I don't need this much room. This is about you and your children and your future. This is about the ability for you to sit wherever you're sitting in the world and hear me in whatever language you speak. This was about you. Because God wanted you to hear today. It's a day for you to make big steps. I'm not talking about crazy steps. I'm not talking about just doing something to be stupid. There are specific guidelines that Noah had to follow, but they were big steps. And the ark only rests on the backs of men who will make big steps. I don't want no children that won't make big steps. Big steps. Big steps. I'd rather help you get out of trouble in a big step than put up with watching you make little steps and waste your life. Do something. Do something that scares you. Do something that makes you pray. Do something that